It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their Sounders thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Starting the show off right, Alex, with a beer pop, or is it margarita? Is that what you
water.
Have?
Cut water mango margarita. It is.
Is that malt liquor?
Tequila.
Oh, that's real tequila. Watered down to enough so that they can put it in a can and sell it like it's beer,
a 12.5% alcohol volume.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Ultra's edition of Sounders Scuttlebutt. We are coming to you live immediately after the Sounders loss at Miami with Messi. It is me, Cameron Collins. I am here with both Alex Diaz and Dan. Do you want, Dan, I feel weird calling you Dan the Bastard when we're using our last names, but do you just want to still be Dan the Bastard?
What are they going to do? Fire me?
Yeah, Dan,
we're fine.
Actually, Dan, the kind of nice guy.
I don't know if you saw what I put my name for this session, but it's a now Reverend Dan the Bastard.
Oh, Reverend, did you get your reverendship?
Well, I got my reverendship forever ago, but I got the certificate mailed to me today because I'm doing a wedding.
Weekend. Nice.
So I now have the official certificate and I'm good to go.
Yeah. Washington State, you don't need the certificate. The people just have to believe that you are an officiant and that's all that matters, even if you weren't. But hey, get that certificate. Is it Life? Church of Universal Life?
Yeah, here, let me pull it up. Let's see which one I got. It was Universal Life Church.
Yeah, I went to a party at the owner's house not that long ago. It's that bright lit up house over I-5 right on Capitol Hill.
They're on I-5 and they still charge me. I had it rushed to me. I didn't realize they still charge me $30 for shipping. Guess I could have just had
you got it from them. Yeah. You got it. You look legit. I'm also a reverend through them. I have officiated two weddings, which is why my official title is Reverend Dr. Cameron J. Collins Esquire.
So the Reverend goes first.
Yeah. I mean, I put it, I'm sure you could do it the other way, but, you know, all the greats do it Reverend Doctor because you're a Reverend.
I didn't know if that was convention.
I think it is.
That should be, your new Twitter handle, Reverend Legal Minded Punk.
Maybe I don't have.
Maybe that way it won't get taken down. They'll think you're part of them.
Still gone.
You just want to use my. You want to use my email to get a Twitter set back up? I'm not going to get on Twitter.
I feel like I've been screaming into the void because I don't have anyone to complain about the Sounders with, or whatever's going on in the world, without Twitter anymore. I posted something on Facebook and a bunch of people that I've known since I was like college age and decided to post on there and disagree with me. And I think one guy from law school even unfriended me, even though nothing I said was that inflammatory. I just commented on that. Even if you die an unfair and horrendous death, it doesn't mean that you're a good person because you could have been shitty in life.
I seen
did
that.
Did you see the Reverend? And I'm not a super religious guy, but his quote that he said that how you die does not get to redefine how you live. And for a Reverend, I thought that was Reverend to Reverend. I thought that was a good quote.
I mean, I think there could be an exception. Like if you died saving children from a fire and it might undo some of the badness, but in general, I agree.
What if your last word was racist? Does that change anything?
What if your final words catapulted the Sounders to a win?
What did the Reverend say about losing or dying on the soccer field?
Oh, that scary. We talked about it in the last episode when Nicholas and I were on, but we did have the Louisville racing player.
Yes.
The seizure on the field and have to be carted off. And thankfully, she's okay. They finished the game tonight. We at least had one win in Seattle. It was behind closed doors, so there was no fans in the stadium. They just played the second half, and Seattle scored. Jess Fishlock scored in the 90th minute for the win.
Well, I guess I should have watched that instead.
Oh, no, Mariners 10-5, bottom of the eighth.
Yeah, Mariners are winning. Cal Raleigh has two home runs. He is now the tied for the all-time record for home runs and is passed for the Mariners and has passed Mickey Mantle for the most by a switch hitter. So I think they're safe. Unfortunately, Houston's also winning. So we are in playoff watch, which leads me to my first question for all of you, both of you. The last time the Mariners made the playoffs, the Sounders didn't. The only time the Mariners made the playoffs when the Sounders existed, the Sounders didn't. If the Mariners are on this playoff push, are you afraid the Sounders aren't going to make the playoffs this year?
No, because I don't watch the Mariners, and I'm not a Mariners fan, so there you go. Now you brought me into the fold, and I can break the curse.
Good. I like that. We can have both teams in the playoff. That'd be great. Mariners currently sit in first place. Well, I guess they're a half game up, but they'll be back to one game ahead in first place, I believe, or at least tied, depending on what happens. Pretty rare for this late in the season. Thankfully, you were not an Astros fan. Did you grow up with any baseball?
No, I grew up as an Astros fan, yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh.
What year was it? Was it 05? 04, 05, they had the World Series against the White Sox, I want to say. Got swept.
Yeah, when they had those awesome black and gold uniforms.
Yeah, that's pretty much the last time I've watched baseball for entertainment.
Craig Biggio.
Yeah, the Triple B's, right?
Ken Caminiti.
Biggio. Yeah, it was.
That was a fun team.
It was. Now they're a bunch of cheaters. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Mariners winning. We might get some wins, but unfortunately we did not get a win in Miami as the Sounders traveled to Miami, lost 3-1, late goal from the Sounders to make it look closer than I think it actually was. Although we did have some hope there for a few minutes. And if we had put in easy goals, you could have said we were going to tie it. But to me, it's not an unexpected loss. And here's why. I predicted 2-2, but I thought Pedro was going to be there. As soon as Pedro wasn't going to be there, he wasn't even in the 18, I said, oh, we're losing 4-1. So I was still wrong, but it was close. What does it mean to you two? Do you think that Pedro wasn't present?
Well, can I give a disclaimer first?
Yeah.
Yeah, just you know, everything I say from this point out, real fast, the Sounders are a good team. They're going to win more games this year. They're more than likely have already got a playoff spot. But now that's out of the way, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to cope. This was a terrible game. And Pedro going on the trip and then not being in the lineup, even on the bench, is it's DEFCON 5. That is, I don't know. Maybe Brian saw the pitch and was like, no, I'm not going to put you on this pitch because
could be.
it looked bad. Disaster. But he went ahead and played Morris. And so, you know, that worries me. Not having Pedro. If we don't have Pedro, then I think that we got a League's Cup trophy this year, and that's it.
Yeah, Nick is going to yell at me for saying this. A team without Pedro, especially a team with Fry and Gold, to me, is going to lose 5 of the final 6 games and not make the playoffs. RSL needs to go on a tear to also have that happen, but that's going to make me want to drink, so... Oh, straight whiskey.
Cheers, boys.
Yeah. Alex, what about you? Leader of the Free Pedro movement.
I think we should talk about the conditions of the field.
Yeah, because, go ahead.
You know, we had all this discord, oh, is Messi going to play on turf, this and whatnot. But their field was way worse condition than ours was. I think that those guys much rather play on a turf field than to play on that grass field. It looked like it was like a horse ranch. But, man, it's just, I thought this game was going to be much closer. But then again, when I saw that Pedro wasn't even on the bench, I went ahead and changed my score prediction to a 3-1 loss. And, yeah, I think Pedro, even though he doesn't have the stats to back it up, I think he is probably our most influential DP. And I just don't know if his tendonitis is that bad or if Brian's just trying to save him for the playoffs. But I think if you don't let him get any run of games to the playoffs, he's going to come into the playoffs rusty. And
he has shown a need for a little bit of a run in here and there too. So
I mean, maybe you think he's hurt tendonitis, right? So it's an injury that's not going to just get better. It's going to be an issue to manage the rest of the season. And if that's the case, I think I wouldn't have a problem with him not starting as long as he had been on the bench, right? But the fact that he wasn't even on the bench after traveling is what worries me a little bit about it. I'm hoping you're right. And we started this podcast just like the Schmetzer interview just went up, so we didn't see the whole thing. I'd be curious if someone asked him about that. I would hope they did. So we'll definitely know more about that once we can watch that interview in full. But it does worry me. But if it was like, oh, if we rest him, you know, on this short, weird rest with 3 days, then maybe it's better, and then he'll be good for the rest of the season, give him this little extra break.
I think we have to see what happens in Austin. If he doesn't start, then I'm going to be very concerned. Because if he doesn't start, and these must-win games, these games are must-win. Because right now, the way that LAFC has been playing after getting Sun, like, if we're not winning games, we're not going to get a top four seed. And we're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. And we've seen on the road, we're not able, you know, to get it done.
That's I think, a major thing that we need to talk about today. And maybe we push that conversation a little bit further down the road in this episode. But what do you think? I mean, if you're Schmetzer and Pedro's hurt, what do you do to try and elevate this team? This is two games in a row we've seen without Pedro. They just aren't, I don't know, they aren't dynamic.
Do the Sounders have enough money after winning League's Cup and Club World Cup to buy a time machine and go back and make a summer transfer?
Unfortunately not, but okay, maybe we could get a time machine and go back and change some things and make them do it.
We're probably going to have to raise the Patreon fees if that's
the Patreon. Oh, I'll put up a $10,000 level, which is money towards the time machine.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, it's so if you're going to go to Sober Dan, it's go back to Austin, get your starting lineup on the field. Maybe even Morse is fit enough to start. Rusnak's going to start. You get the team back gelling. You remind them. You show them the good game tape of what they did in the Club World Cup and what they did in League's Cup. You put Fry, let him give him a coaching role from the bench and put Thomas in goal. And you go out there and you win some more games. Drunk Dan says that, you kind of let them have it a little bit as far as coming out of this game, because I just watched a little bit of the press conference and Brian started saying that the effort was there. And I kind of disagree a little bit as far as it looked like that they walked on the field thinking that they were the better team and had nothing left to prove because they had already beat Miami. That's kind of, I felt like that in some of their play a little bit, especially through the midfield when the ball was bouncing around and a little bit more cautious to go get it. I felt like
Christian wasn't his normal self. And I don't think that I'm not saying I'm doubting Christian's fire. I think it's more, it clearly all the matches he's played because he didn't get a break or taking a toll.
The fatigue is starting to set in.
Yeah.
You're starting to see it with our double pivots. The fatigue is starting to set in.
Yeah.
And
he got his pocket pick there once. It was just, what's going on?
Did it lead to the goal in that one? Or was it the one that
yes.
he missed?
Yeah, the one that led to the goal.
Okay, I think I missed that one. I just knew that it was an early goal. I think this whole, let's talk about the goalie controversy. I think that this is making Stefan Fry's case worse. It's as far as being the starter, like, I, I'm a, I believe that you have to play the players that are in form. No matter how much money they're making, if they're the DP or not, like, you have to play the players in form. And Thomas has been playing great through Leagues Cup when he had to play when Fry was out. And so he wins this Leagues Cup. And what does he get? A spot back on the bench. Like, you got to keep on playing him until he plays himself out of the job. Like, I understand Fry's the captain. He's the veteran. But at the same time, he, as a captain, has to have the self-awareness to understand, you know what? I'm not playing at the top level. Thomas is playing a little bit better than me. What's going to benefit the team more? Let me put my ego aside and let me cheer him on from the sidelines and let's go win another MLS Cup. We seen on the second goal his reaction time. It's like when you're playing FIFA and you have ping that's 100 and your goalie dies after the fact the ball went in. I'm like, we've seen it time and time again that his age is starting to show. And that's I love Fry. You know, he's a great goalie. He's going to go down as one of the greats in MLS. But there comes a time when you're just not able to be at the top level anymore.
Well, I still think that there's things that Fry does better than Thomas. I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate with you. If Thomas started today, and it wouldn't have because the butterfly effect, but Thomas started today and everything else went exactly the same, he saves one of those three goals?
I think it's 2-1. And I think with him on the field, maybe if your goalie makes a save, that's going to push the rest of the team. You know what? Our keeper's, you know, keeping us in the game. Let's go help him out and get another one in. Like, maybe Ozase hits the right side of the post and it goes in and it's 2-2. Or, you know, something like that. Like, you know what? I'll give... Well, Fry made a great save late in the second half. The one against Messi, that kick save, that I'll give him that. Like, Fry made some saves today too, but we have to look at the overall game.
I have a question for you all. And before I say it, I'm going to say that Vancouver is up 1-0 against the Forge in the Canadian Championship in leg two. So they're after winning 2-2 at the Forge. I think they're in Hamilton. They're currently up 1-0 at BC Place, which will put them through to the final if the score holds, to hopefully play against Vancouver. Are they just Vancouver FC? The minor league team. That's my hope. I might go up for that if it's Vancouver versus Vancouver. That'd be super fun, and if they could knock them off in the final. But if you are – so we knew that Andy Thomas was going to start all of the games in the Leagues Cup. He had been told, this is your tournament. This is where you're going to get to play. And so since that was already set up, I think – that means it was also set up. The expectation was Fry to play the other matches when they came back. If you're the coach, how do you bench your captain because Thomas played well in a tournament that you'd already promised him? I mean, without giving Fry a chance to lose the job.
One, I don't think it's as simple as that because that's going off of pre-Leagues Cup, right? And so you had two things happen. One, you had Thomas get a severe injury, right? I mean, he came back and maybe it wasn't as severe as we thought, but I'm still going to say that was a... Fry. Yeah, Fry. You know, he took that shot to the head. I think that changes the equation a little bit. And some of what we're seeing can maybe be some trepidation from that or, you know, but that did happen. And then Thomas gave up how many goals in Leagues Cup?
Two.
I don't know if they were his
team. Tijuana's was a great goal. And the one in Santos was, you could call it a defensive mistake, but it was, they're both great goals.
And he had multiple outstanding saves. And then there's the one thing that I think Thomas does a lot better than Fry and as an extra weapon is Thomas gets critiqued from his distribution. Oh, you got some?
Thomas also had a PK shootout save against Puebla. And let's be real, Fry doesn't save PKs.
No, when he has last year in the playoffs, it was because they missed it, not because he made the save.
So, but one of the things that Thomas does that I think would have helped in this game is after corners, Thomas tends to go a lot faster than Fry. And we had some speed on the field. Miami did not. And Miami, what, only had six on their bench, and so they have an average age of like 37. They're playing shorthanded. I would have liked to have seen us making a run. Like, there was several corners that Georgie's streaking down the field, and he's, you know, Thomas is able to hit him with his arm and make Miami run back. I'd have liked to have seen that a little bit more. And, you know, that's just not Fry's game. Fry doesn't do that. He slows it down. Very bright semester. Let's slow down. Let's play out of the back. Let's play smart. And especially whenever you're already losing 2-3-0, you know, let's throw caution to the wind and let's try to hit him in the face.
That's how you get.
I'm an aggressive person, so I like aggressive goalies.
No, yeah, and I mean that's how we caught Miami in the Leagues Cup. We got him off the counter. Georgie won the penalty. It was off a quick transition moment, and Georgie was on the field like against the same defenders. And it drove Brian nuts when Thomas was going quick towards the end of the game. So maybe Brian likes the way that Fry slows the game down. But then again, there's a time and a place when you need to slow the game down. You slow the game down when you're ahead, when you have a lead, not when you're down two goals in the last 10 minutes. Like, you got to play with some intensity and some urgency.
It felt like we had that urgency that led to the first goal, and then they just ran out of gas or something because they couldn't keep the urgency going. Even after you subbed on Morris and Rusnak, it just wasn't. It didn't feel like they were pushing for goals. It felt like they were just out there to get minutes to get healthy.
No, yeah, there was.
And that may have been the intent.
Yeah, there was. I think there was a play in probably like the 83rd minute that Miami had the ball and they just stood there. And then you look at our team and we're just standing there too. Like, we're almost content with just how the score line was. And
but going back to your point there in the 80th minute, there was that great chance for a through ball. Who was playing second striker? Because we had two up top. Who was it? We had
Morris. Morris.
Yeah. So Moose I believe it was Moose that was, you know, Roos could have hit Moose there and he would have had a one-on-one opportunity with the goalkeeper if that ball had made it through and he put it back and ended up not sending it in and recycling it instead. So yeah, just stuff like that. I feel like that there just wasn't a lot of urgency to go out and take this game.
How much of that is fatigue? How much of that is we've already beaten them and this game is, of all our remaining games, is one of the more meaningless just because it's against the Eastern Conference and it's not against a team that we're fighting for a playoff spot? And how much of it was we just got outplayed?
If it is your first, that, you know, it's doesn't mean as much. We have some tired legs. We just beat them. The mental stuff, I think that played a role. And how concerning is that moving forward that we might have, you know, mentally shifted a game?
I mean, it's the second straight game that it seems like we had no fire.
Yeah, it seems like that we felt like we were the better team and had no reason to prove it. Where ever since the Club World Cup, we felt like it felt like our players were playing with something to prove.
I think that Saturday is make or break for this team. Like, if this game doesn't light a fire under their ass, then I don't know what will. Like, is it going to take losing to Vancouver at home, losing to Portland at home, and then you're going to just limp into the playoffs and then get booted off in the first round? Then,
I mean, if we lose to Austin, who would then jump to 1 point behind us in the standings, LAFC presumably would have passed us. Portland would have had the opportunity to pass us. And so Colorado, San Jose are the 8-9 team. I mean, yeah, Salt Lake has a lot of work to do, but we also play them and they have two games in hand. If they one game in hand on us. So if they win the game in hand, they get up to 37, they're only, what, 8 points behind us, and a win against us would knock that down to 5. And so if we lose to Vancouver and Austin, they're right there, potentially, if they win their games. And suddenly the Sounders are battling for that 8th or 9th spot, which is crazy to think because 2 weeks before we lost to Minnesota, we had a chance to move up into 2nd, it felt like. And suddenly here we are in 4th, about to be passed with the opportunity to drop down to 7th or 8th.
That just shows you how competitive it is in the West.
Yeah.
Life comes at you fast, huh?
Yeah. I mean, in all our games left are against the West except for New York City FC. So we have games against the 3rd place team, the 6th place team, the 7th place team, and the 10th place team in the West. So basically, all playoff teams plus Salt Lake, who's 1 point out of playoffs with two games in hand on both San Jose and Colorado. So they could easily jump up there to be in that eighth spot with Colorado, like right above them. So, I mean, you've got three teams battling for those last two spots. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope, you know, I hope that Nicholas is right and this isn't a big deal. But what I've seen is a team that is lackluster on the road, doesn't get up for road games, and was also lackluster at home. And without Pedro, I do worry that not only will we lose road games, we're not – how do you – Vancouver just beat Philly, the team that is leading the Shield race 7-0. Their new signing had three goals.
They were like all PKs though.
Still, like –
How did they get a new signing?
Thomas Mueller.
Oh, like I thought the transfer window was canceled this year.
Oh, yeah. You didn't realize that only for the Sounders was it canceled?
Oh. Okay.
No, there was a cover fee, but we couldn't cover it.
Oh. That's kind of like the NBA hasn't existed since 2008, right? The league just folded?
Yeah, no, it shut down.
That's I figured the Sonics weren't around anymore.
Good child.
No, the WNBA put them out of business, huh?
It makes sense to me. Storm currently in the playoffs. Unfortunately, lost game one against the Aces, but we'll see what happens moving forward in that series. All right. I don't want to feed into the negativity, but there's been so much negative stuff in the world going on. And I feel like the Sounders were this ray of sunshine in what was already a shit world. And all of a sudden, they have decided to no longer be that ray of sunshine. We'll go with you, Dan. Where are you with the Sounders right now? Or do you have any excitement for these upcoming games, or are you worried that they're going to shit the bed?
Dan is super excited. They hold their keys to their future, and they go out there and they play soccer like they did in the Leagues Cup. And before, we're going to be just fine, and we're going to have a home playoff game to watch.
Now go drink some beer, and then respond.
Now, the bastard in me thinks that they've already won one something. They've set out to accomplish it. And who I think is our best player could potentially be injured. And we don't know what's going on with him. And I'm not super excited to watch a team that doesn't have Pedro on it.
Leader of the free Pedro movement.
I'm going to have to.
That's a big sign.
I'm going to have to start the free Thomas movement now, too, because, oh, boy.
That one's more controversial, I think.
Oh, boy. I mean, I guess the new FIFA game's coming out. I'll manage the Sounders there, and we'll win the MLS Cup right away.
Free transfer for some great players.
No, I think that this team will find a way to turn it around. And, you know, we just got done the game, and, you know, our emotions are raw. And we're all trying to cope in the ways that we are. You know, Dan got his drink, I got my drink. You took your shot of whiskey and you got your donuts. I hope that this team proves me wrong, because I think given just the way that we're playing, we're going to end up between 4, 5, and 6. But if we keep playing the way that we did today and last Saturday, we're going to end up on 7 or 8, maybe 9. Imagine missing the playoff on decision day.
Yeah. 5 is likely at L.A., if we were to be 6th, it would be at probably Vancouver, but they have two games in hand on Minnesota, so they could easily jump up into 1st. So it'd be either Vancouver or Minnesota or potentially San Diego, because they're also close. So it'd be one of those top three. So I guess we avoid Portland, which was my fear, but that seems like a big feat, having to beat a Vancouver, Minnesota, or San Diego more than it does to beat an Austin or Colorado or San Jose.
No, because either way, we're gonna have to play them at home in the second round.
That's true. I think, at home. It's just a matter of which one do you get the home game, first or second. But you still get a home game. After that, it becomes you're on
I would want to see. I want to see how our game against Vancouver pans out before I make a decision of who I don't want to play. Because we beat San Diego, and you know, we played Minnesota well. Like, I'm sure Minnesota's probably the scariest team to play in the playoffs, just because they'll just bunker down, and we haven't been able to beat the bunker. So until we're able to beat a bunker, then I don't want to play a bunker. Because if we play a bunker, you know, I'm going to put the mortgage on the other team.
I mean, we're having trouble scoring against teams that aren't bunkering down. So what happens when they do? We just don't score.
No, we're going to need a PK or a handball or something.
Which that's what we've seen in games we have won against them.
Like FC Dallas, where we got the PK late in game.
Yeah.
I'm not super afraid of playing any team in MLS at Lumen Field. I have a lot of faith in Brian. I have a lot of faith in the squad. And I think in a win or go home game at Lumen Field, against anyone, they're the odds on favorites. I mean, because it was just 2 weeks ago that they had Miami crashing out with some of the same players. And I don't, that's, you know, not saying that it's, we're guaranteed to win, but it's, I like our odds on the road. I'm a little bit more cautious. I wouldn't wonder if we play Minnesota again at home in the playoffs if we don't see Brian doing something like he did against LAFC and changing up the formation or changing up the tactics. That's what he did to get us through past LAFC after what, losing three times that year to him, and in pretty bad fashion too. So give me some games at home, and that's really why this is so worrying. Is every drop point we have is less of a chance of playing at home. You know, we could be looking at one game at home with you know, the because it's still what, the best of three.
Yeah,
for the first round.
I think
is it best of three. It's not home and away anymore. They keep switching it, so I don't even know.
It's
what
home
it
and
is.
Away, and back at the top seed if necessary. Yeah, okay. I think it goes straight to PKs.
So it's not aggregate. It's each one counts as
a
win.
Well, whatever benefits.
I like
Miami.
The aggregated.
They're in eighth place, so who knows if they make the playoffs?
They have so many games in hand that they are going to make the playoffs. They're fighting for the shield, even though they're in that far down.
But I think the East is much more.
How did they get so many games in hand and we didn't? I feel like we've probably played pretty similar. What, they had one more Club World Cup game than us.
They had CONCACAF Champions League though too.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that we got bounced early.
Yeah, but they got bounced too by Vancouver. And then Vancouver got bounced by Cruz Azul. Then we bounced them, so technically we're the champions of CONCACAF.
So 2 games ago, the Sounders were the number one team in CONCACAF and 81st team in the world. Does this team still inspire you to believe that they're number one in CONCACAF and 81st in the world? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Let's take a break, and when we get back, you can answer it. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay. And we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. Yeah, listen to our corporate overlords, which I don't know what the ads they put in there for us, but the other one is me. So join our Patreon.
It's only like a dollar.
Yeah, it's little as much as you want to pay. Give us that $10,000 level so that we can get that time machine.
pay for our new nine. There you go.
Yeah, that's
please.
That might be easier than having it be that we get a time machine, and because then we still have to invent it. But the Sounders were named number one team in CONCACAF, I think 81st in the world. And then we've seen them lose a couple games in a row here. Well, I guess they didn't lose to LA. It felt like a loss because they're the worst team in the league and they blew points late. That's funny that if we think about it, though, they still have only lost two games out of their last 17. Is the sky falling? Is this, I mean, we've spent the first 30 minutes of the show talking about how worried we are about them falling out of the top four, but is this ship easily correctable? Can we get back on
course? Is Pedro healthy?
I guess that's the question.
Is he playing at least 45?
No.
If we got to keep saying hashtag free Pedro before every game, that we're not going to be in a good position. Like, I think he, like I said earlier, he's our most influential DP. He doesn't have the stats like a Rusnak does, but he plays more than Jordan. And I think that he probably makes the less out of the three of them. He probably makes the least amount of money, but he's the most influential on the field. Like, you can tell when he's on the field and you can tell when he's not on the field. When Jordan was out, we had, you know, Danny stepped up, D-Row stepped up. When Rusnak got out, Jesus stepped in and filled that role beautifully. But when Pedro's out, oh boy, you miss Pedro.
Now, why don't we have someone like the Mariners have Dom Canzone, who Dom Canzone just went 4-for-4 today. Sorry, 5-for-5. He was 4-for-4 before his last at-bat. He went 5-for-5 with 4 runs, 4 RBIs, 3 home runs, including one, a 2-run home run in the bottom of the, or top of the ninth, so that the Mariners won 12-5. I'm so shocked I can't even speak. Where is our Dom Canzone to step in and fill the place of Pedro? I feel like Georgie was trying to be that today and maybe wasn't that far off. What did you see from Georgie?
No, we had Paul Rothrock.
He was out at halftime.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I think Georgie was, you know, he was trying his best, but towards the end, it almost felt like he was trying to do too much and they were double teaming him on that side. But I think he was trying to force it a little bit too much towards the end when he cut in and had that shot that just, you know, didn't even hit the target. But I think Georgie, for starting the game, he looked good because I was on the train that Georgie can't get it done as a starter. But, you know, he proved me wrong today. You know, I'll give him his props.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think today just showed yet again that Georgie's not a starter. And to go back to your baseball reference, he's a closer. He's somebody that you're going to bring on late in the game and get you some points. I think whenever he's doing his bit against fresh legs, it's not as effective as whenever he's doing it against tired legs. And that's I didn't see much today that changes my opinion on it.
I mean, he was effective at times.
So fun to.
But it was when they were tired.
He was effective at times.
It was at the end when they were tired, and he was running past them over and over again.
I will say that if Kent's healthy, I start Kent over Georgie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But who are you going to put up there?
But Kent's not healthy. Well, I think in an ideal world, if Pedro's off the field, you have Rothrock on the left. You have Jesus on the – well, in Brian's ideal role, you have Rothrock on the left, Jesus on the right, and Rusnak there in the middle. And so still allowing Georgie to come on in the end. But, you know, we're not quite there yet. Fitness level for Rusnak, probably by this weekend we will be. So
that's
what I would like to see.
I want to come back to this question of Rusnak and Jesus because it's something we've been discussing off podcast for a while. And I tried to bring it up with Nick and he kind of didn't even really address it directly. So before we do that though, we did get, since it was such short notice, we did get only one scuttlebutt mailbag question from good old muffin top model, Tim Hamilton, said, why were we so hell bent on unforced errors tonight? Sure. We won 3-0. They can't take the trophy away, but they punched us in the mouth and spit on us after the game and then continued punching us once we got to Miami. LA Galaxy was a thing, and the Miami part, douche, is a thing. However, will this team turn it around? And we already talked about the turn it around, but I kind of want to talk about, this didn't feel like a continuation of that last game to me, more than maybe if you're saying, yeah, we'd already beat them, so we didn't have anything to prove. But short rest, flying about as far away from Seattle as you can get, probably pretty humid there. This didn't, and also it's like, I had friends in a band that one day opened for Run DMC in front of 12,000 people, and the next day played in front of 6 people, the next town over. It feels like that. It feels like we went from completely sold out crazy stadium to now we're just playing a nothing game with nothing on the line.
No, yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, you saw at halftime the camera pan to Obed and Messi having a nice, what looked like a nice chat. I'm like, there was no bad blood. There was what happened in the final. It was left in the final. And yeah, it's a game. Tempers flare in a final. It's a big game. So I mean,
and Suarez wasn't on the field. So I think that if he had been on the field, maybe it plays out a little differently. But I think without him there, it doesn't. It's not the inflammatory person isn't there.
But Busquets was there, and he's punched Obed at the end of the game.
I think Obed won that one, though.
I think, yeah, Obed said. No, but I mean, to be fair, the stadium looked empty, in my opinion. Like, there was a lot of open seats.
Yeah, I'm not for their prices on a Tuesday night against a team that just kicked their ass when they also lost their last game, too. I'm not going to blame those fans for not driving from Miami up to Fort Lauderdale to attend against rush hour traffic to attend a game.
And I mean, if you really want to sit down and decide this, like look at the two games and dissect it, we technically hold the aggregate over them 7-6. So technically we're still up.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take that. I mean, if we end at 3-3, all right, then we'll have a PK shootout. We'll win that one. If Thomas is in goal. But I mean,
I think it just kind of, go ahead, Alex.
No, go ahead. I'm thinking of what I'm going to say now.
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes to show that the fans made a bigger deal about the post game than Miami or Seattle did. But for me though, I have my own biases, and Miami represents a lot in the world that I dislike. The idea that you can just buy your way to a championship and that they deserve to win, and we should worship them because they're rich, and that's that doesn't really get me going. So I would love to have seen us smash them again, but for how to carry around in the long run, I think we're okay.
We're still the same talented team, and as much as my eyes and heart tell me that Pedro not being out there hurts us, I just, there's also part of me that is just can't believe that one player can make that much of a difference. This isn't the old Sounders where Dempsey goes down and we're screwed, right? This isn't a team that's built around single players. This is a team that's built on the next man stepping up and doing his job. And there's got to be a way to find some dynamic way to do something. And you saw Brian at the end of that game, try something new. Two forwards up top. Unfortunately, because we don't play that way, they were both trying to take up the same space. The same problem we had when they put Morris and Adeniran up there. Was that 2 seasons ago now?
Rui Diaz.
And Rui Diaz as well, yeah. When they did it with him too. So you see that problem, but I think that kind of problem is fixable. That kind of problem is something that you just practice and will fix over time if that's something you're going to do. Question is, where are you going to take away that player if you're putting two up top? Are you taking away someone from the midfield, like a center attacking mid and playing with two up? Or are you taking away a center defensive mid and not having the two pivots back there? Obviously, that's what I would choose to do. But I know, Alex, you said, no, that's like the key to our game. So that's one that you wouldn't touch.
I think, well, first of all, I want to tackle the first part of the question. I think what it is, too, is we're still trying to knock off some rust after having 5 days off. Like, these guys took those 5 days off, and they went straight vacation mode. You know, I think Jesus went back home to Texas. Yamar, probably, I think I've seen him with Pedro down at the beach, probably in, I don't know, maybe in Colombia or somewhere around. So these guys are, you know, there's still some rust. I've seen Yamar miss some passes that he normally doesn't miss. Like, we were misplacing a lot of passes today. We were misplacing a lot of passes on Saturday. That's, they're going to shake that off. And I think by Saturday, we're going to see a different team that's playing, you know, a little bit better. And to answer your question, I think based off what we've seen Brian do, by taking off Pedro around the 60th minute, you take off Pedro and you put in another striker.
Hmm.
Because we've seen him take off Pedro in against Miami, and you know, close games, you've seen him take it out when he starts. Yep. So I think that's where I'll go. I'll take out Pedro, or I'll take out.
I mean, who do you shift? How are you shifting? Are you getting rid of a center attacking mid then and moving someone over to the left or right?
I mean, if you take off Pedro, you almost want to play with the way that they play in possessions. They have three in the back. So Alex is always going to float to help out in the midfield. So you can almost have Alex play towards on in that right side, and you can have Jesus and Rusnak occupy the middle and the left half space. And then you have Moose as the point forward, or you have D-Row, because I think D-Row plays the position differently than Danny.
Yeah.
And then you have Morris be that almost that runner. You have the striker be the hold-up player and is able to, you know, play that pass in behind so Morris can run into it and then have a opportunity on goal. Kind of like the way that, I hate to say this, but the way that Suarez plays as a nine. You know, we've seen him, how he's able to play, you know, a person underneath through. We saw him do that to Messi when he missed that big chance. Like a striker like that, I think would be very beneficiary when we have a two striker setup.
I mean,
and when we have Suarez, someone like Morris.
Yeah. Suarez is a jerk, but he wouldn't still be playing if he also weren't one of the, spent so much time as one of the best players in the world, right? Like this guy is
going to go down
player, but
he's going to go down as one of his generation's best strikers.
Yeah.
Like, apart from how he is off the field, you know, that's another issue to discuss. But him as a soccer player, he's going to go down as one of the greats.
I think he's good enough
at that his position.
He got that Michael Jackson treatment where you just kind of ignore the bad things and keep bringing him around.
No, I mean, he did get punished, you know, but not to the extent some of us were like.
Right, but teams are still signing him because the upside is bigger than the downside.
Yeah, and he's towards the twilight of his career. His knees are going to give out anytime soon. He takes like 3 pills a day before a game, and then he shoots up his knees right before a game.
Yeah. And it's like, that's got to be taking a huge toll on his body.
Yeah. And I think more so what we saw at the end of the game was frustration, because he knows that he's almost done. Like, that was probably his only opportunity to win a trophy in Miami.
Yeah.
Because we saw what happened last year. They couldn't get it done against Atlanta, the number 8 seed, and they were, what, the number 1 seed?
Yep.
So, like, just seeding and the MLS playoffs, like, once, just throw it out the window. Like, once it's the playoffs, like,
that's,
you're going to see
playoffs,
a lot of upsets. And that's why, yeah, I want the Sounders to have home playoffs games, because I know our fan base will show up. But we can also get it done on the road. We did it last year.
This team feels different on the road this year, though. Like, I feel like for a few years, though, we were not playing as well at home. And I don't have the numbers to back this up, but there was a while there where it felt like our home, not that our home field advantage was gone, but it wasn't the same. And this year, they've turned it into a fortress of sorts in a way that, I mean, we're not losing at home, right? We don't have a single loss at home, do we?
I think we might have one.
One? Yeah.
But I might be wrong.
We dropped points to Charlotte. We dropped points to LA. But that might.
Minnesota was a loss.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a draw.
It was a draw. It felt like a.
Yeah. I think we dropped points for that game. But
no, I think it was 3-2 Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was. But either way, like, we're not losing at home, right? All of our losses are largely on the road. And so it shows that, I mean, and we're not counting Club World Cup, obviously. They were playing like the best teams in the world.
Yeah, the World Cup is an anomaly,
right? Like, it's not a factor here. But
okay, here, I'll pop up.
Yeah, I got it up right now, so I can tell you what ended up happening in that game. But this is a team that,
yeah, Minnesota won
3-2. Yep, 3-2.
August 16th. Yep,
June 1st.
Yeah, I think I was at that game, so I was very disappointed.
Yeah, August, the August one was the one at Minnesota, but yeah, it was the one.
That's right. Yeah.
It was the match where, they came back and just made it look like, I don't know. They had all those. It was all like we scored and then they scored and then they scored, made it 3-1. And then we had the own goal at the end. So,
yeah. So we only have one loss this season at home.
Yeah.
So all of our other losses are on the road.
Right. So I think that that's one of the reasons why I think home is a fortress for us. And that's why that home field advantage is so big. I mean, we've lost 7 on the road. We've only lost 1 at home. So,
When you got the best fan base in the country to, you know, cheering you on, your level is going to be at a higher level.
Man, and shout out to all y'all that sit in ECS. Like, you have been bringing the heat lately, like just so much energy, which I think isn't always reflected in the rest of the stadium, but it's been impressive. I can't do it. It hurts my ears too much with that drum. After getting punched in the head and having my eardrum explode, I have to wear like earplugs when I'm down there, so it's tough. But
no,
that's a medical reason. Plus, like, I can't stand 90 minutes. Come on.
No, and well, I mean, you get a little break.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I think I was a little disappointed, you know, and as our fan base, we didn't show up for LA Galaxy. I thought we would have a similar energy that we didn't for the Leagues Cup final, and we didn't. So I was a little,
I think it's hard for me to complain about it. I was thinking about it like a normal MLS game. It's not a cup final. They aren't going to show up like that, but ECS, I mean, with the display and just it being, Hispanic Heritage week, like there really was some cool stuff that went on, and it felt like a community rather than just a bunch of people rooting for a team.
No, yeah, I give, you know, ECS had a beautiful Tifu, and, you know, they had cards passed out for in Spanish and English, so people know their rights.
Yeah, know your,
you know,
derechos.
So derechos, yeah, it was, it's great. Like, ECS is a great community, and I urge you that if you want to come out to a game, you know, be an ECS.
Yeah, I mean, join Gorilla FC, but go
see. Yeah, join one of the supporter sections. Like, it's a great community. We're a great fan base, and, you know, come out and watch a great team play at home.
Yeah.
If we're away, I don't know what to tell you. Just get a case of beer, whatever you want to. If you want to drink or you want to, you know, do other activities to get you through the game, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Don't get yourself banned like Jerry did at Minnesota.
Oh, he got himself banned?
Yeah, for drumming the drum.
These people gone soft, man. The game's gone.
Yeah. They wouldn't have made it through the 80s.
And I bet you those fans probably thought it was a Vikings game.
No, Minnesota has good fans. I will say that. I know quite a few. I've regularly appeared on a Loons podcast. They're good people. They don't like us since they've only beat us one time. In fact, I know people there that say Seattle is the Loon's daddy. So, yeah, we own them. That's why that loss there was so big for them, because it's not something that they've been able to do. So,
I mean, to talk about the Loons, I want to know what we can do to get our own fake star on our logo too. I would rock 3 stars now. Like, what do we got? Do we got to change the logo again?
Yeah.
Another rebrand?
I was going to say something about next year's jersey. I can't say that. I signed an NDA. No, it wasn't Sounder specific. It was a league thing, but I'm just really excited for what's to come. It's nothing you said is related to it. It's just, it put this thought in my head where I was just like, oh.
No, because so when I first got back watching MLS and following the Sounders, I noticed.
Oh, wait, are those the same thing? I mean, because you do have a Portland Timbers jersey. So did you get into MLS as a Timbers fan and then start rooting for the Sounders?
So my friend bought it for me because it was on sale.
Okay.
That jersey is going to get burned when we win an MLS Cup. It's either I burn it when we get an MLS Cup or when we get 50 people on the Patreon.
No, bring it up for the Portland match that Cedar will be at, coming all the way up from California to spend time with you, and then burn it if we win.
I mean, I would. That only if Dan goes.
Oh yeah, you got.
Oh,
we got to have everybody there.
We gotta have everybody there because it's gonna be a Patreon exclusive episode. And it's gonna be video.
Dan, you want to be there for Portland match, anyways? If you haven't experienced the rivalry.
Oh yeah, I went last year actually. So as it turns out, I'm cheap. And last year, the Portland tickets were like $70 to get in, you know, for the ECS. And I complained about it on social media. And somebody that was able to get the employee discount was able to hook me up with some better price tickets. Nice. And so that was outstanding. So I did get to go Portland last year. And that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I plan on going this year, too. I just got to buy the tickets.
Yeah. Shout out, Cedar. I know we just decided we were going to do this episode without you being involved because you're at work, and so now you're having to listen to the – we're just like, we're going to record. Sorry, Cedar.
We got to record another day so we can be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were all upset and had to talk about it.
Yeah, I feel like this has been a more cathartic episode than it has been an angry episode, right? Yeah. Like, it could have gone off.
Yes.
No,
yeah. Come listen and have some therapy.
I think the criticism is fair. Like, you know, we're a team that wants to win championships. We have to hold the team at a high standard. So, like, when we have results like this, like, we have to, you know, we can still support the boys, but we got to start asking questions.
Yeah, and I think if this had been a one off, if we had beat LA Galaxy, or at least played better against LA Galaxy, I'll put it that way. To me, this would not be as big of a deal. It's one loss on the road on short week across the country. Like, teams don't always show up for these games. That's just how it is. They're human beings.
No, and I think LA Galaxy at home felt like a loss. This is a loss. And, like, we just, you know, some of us have PTSD from 2022. And we just want to make sure it's not going to happen again. Like, I feel like that's fair to, you know, question the team. Like, we don't have the same access as some of the media people do. So this is where we come to ask those questions.
Yeah. Like,
this is where the normal humans come. And, you know, we come in, like, talk about it.
I will say, I wish, and in the off season we'll get them on the podcast, hopefully, but I wish you could have some of the conversations I get to have with the general manager. And
I mean,
with Craig and with Garth before them, because they say things when you hear their vision, it doesn't feel as bad because you believe in what he's doing with what he's given. You believe that he's going above and beyond.
No. And I will give you that because there was that one time where Craig talked to us before the match. And like, you know what? Like I think I was a little too harsh on Craig. And I was like, you know what? After hearing him talk, you know, answer questions that, you know, normal people like me, normal fans, like, you know, talking about, oh, why aren't we signing players? What if, why not this? Why not that? And like, you know, he gave what felt like was very honest answers. And like, he painted his vision for the team. And like he said back then, as he did now, he wanted a player to come that would help the Sounders now. He wanted a player that will help the Sounders now and not a player that's going to be for the future. And that's why we didn't see no summer transfer signing. Like, you know what? Maybe we can critique that all we want. But he stood on what he said early in the season all the way through.
Yep. They're not going to bring in somebody to try and get in the 18. They want someone pushing for first team minutes.
Yeah, and he said if we want to sign a 9 that's going to be developmental, we have D-Row. That's going to be cheaper on the contracts. That allows us to get more players in other positions in order for us to have the depth that we have.
Speaking of, that's going to bring us right back to the conversation we were having after the LA Galaxy match over text, when my talk to text in my car was being funny and saying the wrong acronyms and stuff. Now we've seen twice Albert come on and sub for Jesus, and it felt in both instances, and let's put the caveat in that Albert's coming back from injury, and we love Albert. Albert is one of my favorite players, and I've told him as much. So this is not a critique of Albert. Again, it's because he's not 100%, but we've felt less dangerous when he comes on at center attacking mid and Jesus moves to the right. Now, that could be Jesus is a better center attacking mid than a right midfielder. I don't believe that Brian believes that, because he's praised him on the right and had continued to put him on the right for a long time. Dan, what do you do in this situation? Because I know we talked about it, and I said, I do think Albert is better than Jesus at both positions, but maybe the drop-off is less if they switch them and put Albert on the right and Jesus at center attacking mid. With the current roster, so not talking about bringing in another player for next season, let's talk about this season. How are you dealing with those two plus Rothrock? What are you doing?
Well, they said, Craig said, whenever they brought Jesus in, they actually talked about the game that Dallas had against Miami where Jesus played on the right and how good he was there. And I think that was indication from the beginning. They saw him in our system playing on the right.
I think that's true.
I like Jesus at CAM, and let me tell you why. I think that there are times when Rusnak slows the game down playing at the 10 more than it needs to be slowed down. I think there are some opportunities to move the ball forward, and Rusnak is your steady Eddie. He's a steady player. He is maybe a little bit of a cautious player. He's not going to lose the ball, and he's going to do all the basic things that you need him to do. I don't think you always see enough of just that magic that I think Jesus has a little bit more magic there at the 10 than Rusnak does. I'm not super in love with the fact of using the right winger as a second center attacking midfielder and our attack. I think that whenever you have the ability to drive a little bit more forward there with that right winger instead of dropping back into that pocket and trying to occupy some of the same space that the 8 or the 10 is occupying, I think that kind of muddy things up. And I think that's where we run into some of our problems with those low blocks and whenever teams are falling back. So to answer your question, I really like Jesus at the 10, and I think that's his future on this team.
So do you put this season, are you putting Albert off the bench then, or are you putting him on the right and having Rothrock sit? I mean, I think they're both answers are good. They're both. This is the thing is, when we're healthy, there's some tough decision that Brian Schmetzer needs to make.
Yeah, there is.
Do you want some time to think about your decision?
Yeah, go. Let him think about it, because I want to hear what Alex has to say real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I got a hot take. You Rusnak off the bench, you start Jesus, and you play Rothrock out the right wing. Or if you're going to play Rusnak and Jesus together. And I understand where you're coming from about them occupying the same inside space, but that opens up the channel for either Alex or Kalani to run up the wing and put crosses in. And we see that happen when Jesus has opened up, found Alex, and he put that ball in to set up D-Row on probably one of the easiest goals that he's ever going to score in a final.
Yeah.
And I just think that they play two different styles of the game. Rusnak is more of the slow, methodical, possession-based, Brian Schmetzer ball. And Jesus is a little more direct. Like, he's willing to, put that ball in behind. He makes those runs. And I feel like what Jesus offers as a 10, as far as his ability to press, we've seen him press and lead to the defenders making a bad pass or, just playing the ball out of bounds. And that puts us in a position on the opponent's half to start possessing the ball there. You want to do the whole overload thing. But we have a throw-in in the opponent's half, which is always good. So I just think Jesus offers a little bit more different things to what Rusnak offers. I like Jesus' set-piece delivery a little bit better than Rusnak. Even though today, he had some corners that I didn't really like.
We've still seen Jesus get the ball up and be more dangerous off corners far more often than we've seen Albert.
It beats the first post.
Right.
And, we had goals, and I believe in every group stage match off corners from Jesus taking the corners.
Yeah.
So I just, I'm not Brian Schmetzer, so I don't know what he's going to do. But what I would do is I play Danny up top because, he's having a great season. You have Jordan off the bench until he starts going on a tear. Then you have Pedro, Jesus, Rothrock, Obed, Christian, Nuhu, Reagan, Yamar, Alex, and then Angol Thomas.
I mean, here's
that's the thing. That's the lineup starting the playoffs. If we started tomorrow, that's the lineup.
This team, assuming Pedro can come back and play, this team has an embarrassment of riches. And what are you doing with those riches, Dan, now that you've heard what Alex has to say?
I'm playing Pedro on the left. I'm playing Jesus at the cam. I'm playing Morris at the nine. And then I'm playing whoever had the best damn week in practice on the right.
You just made me think, though. Maybe I'm playing Morris on the right.
I'm not going to argue against Morris on the right. We've seen that what Morris can do on the wing, he had an assist.
Yeah. I mean, even though he was at the nine. That's why when they were Morris, I thought Morris scored that goal. I was like, Morris, the number nine. Then I'm like, oh, no, he was playing on the wing where he scored all his goals last year. Where I've been.
Yeah, you know, that could cook. I'm not as high with Moose. I still think that Moose is a backup striker in this league. I think that he's gotten to some really good positions a lot. And I think that there's a lot of meat that he's left on the bone. You know, I think with some of the positions that he's got into this league, he could be in the race for the golden boot. And, you know, it's a testament to the work that he's put in and everything he's done. But the supporting cast that we have to get balls into the box for a good striker is – that could be a huge game changer in the way that this team is going forward with somebody that is a dead-eyed dick there at the nine.
He is a solid, good MLS striker. But yeah, he's not a superstar. He's not Raul Ruiz Diaz. He's not Raul Ruiz Diaz sinks most of those shots that one-on-one that
yeah.
He's not getting in.
But here's the thing. Do you sit your striker that's in form? I play the in-form striker.
I agree, but also
until Jordan gets form as well. Like
but Jordan,
3 or 4 goals.
Yeah.
If he scores one goal until the end of until playoff start, then I start Jordan. But he needs to prove to me and he needs to prove to the team that he's able to put the ball in the net. Because we've seen Jordan miss one-on-ones too.
True.
Although, if you want to be hard on Moose for missing those one-on-ones, you got to be hard on Jordan.
Last year, Jordan figured it out, though. Jordan started missing a lot less of those. It was like someone told him, be selfish, and it made a difference. Because he often wouldn't even take that shot in the past.
Yeah, they would look for the extra pass.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes where, like, just shoot the ball. Like, you know, it's okay to be selfish. If you're when you're inside the box, it's life or death. Take a shot.
Especially if you have a good shot at goal.
Even if you don't.
Jordan,
who knows? You might get a deflection.
Good look on goal is what I meant.
Well, Jordan beat LAFC last year playing as a striker with a striker move, with hold up play, and then as a target nine, taking the ball in front of the goal, beating the center back, and then slotting it in with a great shot. I think he could do it again. I'm not as opposed to Jordan at the nine. Overall, team building, you know, if we're talking about the bigger picture and team building, I feel like that this team, with the DPs that we have, between Jordan and Rusnacki, one of them could stand to be upgraded.
Yep.
Pick the one that you think that you – pick the position you think you could upgrade the best. And go for that.
That we can afford. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that goes back to the whole – Craig and the owner conversation.
Maybe not, because if Jesus, and I don't know the numbers, if Jesus doesn't do enough to become a DP based on triggering it through his contract, they could move on. Couldn't they after the season from Rusnak if they chose to?
What is it? Two plus one?
Yes. Yes. Yes to both. I think Jesus to hit his escalators, it's a 2-year, not a 1-year. So the escalators, from what I understand, aren't built in after the first year. The escalators are built in after the second year. At the same time that Rusnak, they did it so that they can roll Jesus into the DP position after Rusnak is gone, and then continue on. But Morris, with aging too, maybe that's the spot that you're looking at for future roster building, bringing in that nine. And that's, you know, I think that's also what we're looking like with a U22. If you hit on a U22. For 2 years, and then Morris moves on, and then you elevate him to that DP position, because it seems like that they've really hit on building from within for their DPs, and that may be what they're going with.
I mean, you look at how many people are local, whether they came from the Seattle soccer system, the Northwest soccer system, or they just went to college here, like the Roll Down Brothers. Like, there is so much local talent on this team. And our owner, and I think I agree with him, believes that if you're local, you play just a little bit harder because you're not just playing for the team, you're playing for the city because you feel it.
They're not playing for the money, they're playing for the badge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like...
There's multiple ways to be excited about a roster, and one is bringing in the big names. The other one is watching your hometown heroes do what they did 2 weeks ago and beat the shit out of Miami.
Yeah.
So that is to me, that is just as exciting. I've had a past history of calling for a lot of big name DPs to come in, and I think I was a little bit wrong, and I've really enjoyed the way overall that this roster has been built and the players we have. I love them to death. We have one of the easiest teams in the world to root for across any sport. Find me another team that is as easy to root for as a hometown team than the Seattle Sounders.
And I also just think if Areola hadn't got hurt, this team could be even, even better. I mean, you're pushing for those top two in the West.
He is putting in the work.
Yeah.
Because I see his Instagram. He is putting in the work that I think he's going to be under a revenge season next year. That'd so awesome. That just means, are we going to move off Kent?
I think so. I think so
for the money. It's just
the amount of money, unless he's willing to come back for less, which is possible considering
we might move on from JP.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a little bit in different formats, but potentially there's money opening up from JP, potentially from Fry. You know, we're going to have to figure out what to do with Nuhu. But you're also going to see raises for Rothrock, for Kalani, for some of the other players who just will have to make more money because they're getting starting minutes. And so they have to, I mean, they're making nothing.
No, yeah.
What are the odds we lose Rothrock?
I don't think you can do that after what he's done.
I don't think he wants to leave.
Yeah. This is his team he grew up rooting for. Like, it is a business, and they and maybe, I think, depending the head you have on your shoulders, you could feel offended if you don't think they're valuing you right because you put your whole life into them. So I think that generally can happen. I don't think that's Rothrock's mentality, though. I don't know him, obviously, but I've spent 10 minutes talking to him, maybe, which just my impression on that 10 minutes is that he's a genuinely like caring, good person who right now is not concerned about money. He's concerned about winning. And so as the Sounders are providing an opportunity to win and treating him fairly, I don't think there's any chance he leaves.
No. Yeah. And you've seen, and I was going to mention this earlier, but we kind of, you know, I don't want to cut you guys off. It's like when he scored the third goal to, you know, put that icing on the cake in the final, like the first thing he did was kiss the badge.
Yeah.
Like D-Row didn't kiss the badge. Alex didn't kiss the badge. Rothrock kissed the badge. And I think that speaks more to his character of how much he loves the Sounders and how much he loves the city of Seattle. Like, we have to remember is that he didn't start off here. He started off in, I believe, Toronto, and things didn't pan out there, and Sounders, you know, took a shot on him.
Yeah.
And
he's a kid that grew up in the city. He went to Lakeside. Yeah. Like, he is local. I think
he's grateful.
And
he's grateful for the Sounders.
There's something
for taking a chance on him.
There's something to be said for people that grew up in this city, because there's not a lot of us left. Most people are from the suburbs or somewhere completely different. Not even from the Seattle area. You know, they're from Houston or Yakima. They're not from Seattle.
But I drive up to see Rothrock.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I grew up in the city, and there's a level of pride in that where I've never lived outside of the city, except for when I moved away for college. I've always lived in the city limits, and I'm a Seattle kid. And I realize that is that's a privilege I've had. I would not have been able to have that opportunity if I had been born 10 years later. If my dad didn't have a great job when you only needed one job to buy a house, like all that kind of stuff. And I didn't have, you know, the education that I was able to have afforded to me, like all of that stuff. That's why I'm able to live here. But, there's still a level of pride that, my friends used to have a drinking game that every time, like my California friends, when I would talk about Seattle, they would have to take a shot every time I said Seattle. And so I would get people wasted because I didn't know they were playing this game. And so I would just Seattle this, Seattle that, blah, blah, blah. And so there's a love for this city, and you see it through players that grew up here. You see it. I mean, Reagan's the same story, right? Grew up here, went away to Michigan, went and played for Chicago. And then they cut him when they sent him down to Chicago too, so they can try to come home and make the team here. And he did it through the minor league system, but he came back. Like, these are local kids that grew up watching the Sounders.
Yeah, and he played for Seattle United, a local club team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like there's talent in the Pacific Northwest. Like, we are a soccer hotbed.
And we always have been. It's because growing up in the city, you didn't play football. You played soccer, basketball, and baseball. Those were the three yearly sports. Little League football was for kids in the suburbs.
No, yeah, and I told some of my friends this, like, Seattle is like my home away from home.
Yeah,
like, I love the city of Seattle,
and like, love you too, both of you. I mean, that's the thing, is people who are actually from Seattle, we joke a lot with people from the suburbs, but ultimately we're proud of our city and we want you to come enjoy it. So the more the merrier. Just don't make our housing go higher.
That's why I always go home. Hey,
I don't make enough money for your house to go higher.
Yeah, right. I'm about as far south as I can get without being in the city. So let's keep me where I am.
No, and again, this, and I want to tie this back, and I think this is like a great, you guys, if you guys aren't on the Discord, you know, take the time, join the Discord.
Yeah.
Be a part of this family, because, you know, these guys are like my brothers. You guys are like family to me.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Like, you know, when, you know, things happen around the world, like, we always find a way to come together and support each other. Look,
family is chosen. It's not, and we are chosen family. Sometimes you have to deal with parents or in-laws or siblings that,
or aunts, uncles.
Yeah, that are completely bonkers, but you can choose your family, and we've all chosen each other.
Like, I'm gonna have, when, you know, when I have my family, there's gonna be an Uncle Chorizo that has no relation to me, but that's their uncle.
Yeah,
like that's my best friend, and, you know, he's gonna be like family. He's family, and just like how we have no relation to each other, but you guys are family to me.
Speaking of family, this has really turned around my vision on the season. Like, I came into this being like, the season's done. We're going to lose 5 of the last 6 games. We're not even going to make the playoffs. RSL is going to go on a run. We're going to get that 10th spot. This is it. And now I'm like, no, this team is only going to lose one more game for the rest of the season. And that's against Vancouver.
We're finishing fourth.
Yeah. We're finishing fourth.
All right. We got to bring you in just a little bit. just a little bit.
What? Question, is this our drunken I love you guys sign off?
I think it is. Who you guys?
I think we can still go on for another hour.
Yeah, but then I can't get the episode up tonight. That is some good whiskey, though.
Put it on the Patreon first. Patreon exclusive.
It's supposed to be, but you know what? The problem is, I don't know how to do that because I don't have access to posts on our Patreon anymore, because it sends notices to Aaron's phone because of all the 2FA issues going on in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So,
all right, Aaron, you got to get back on. Check your phone.
Yeah.
Take it off D&D.
He just has to give me access so that I can run the Patreon as well. I don't know enough about Patreon to do it, but I'm sure I can. I think he just has to make me an administrator or something. But yeah, I'll get this episode up tonight so everyone can listen to it fresh and come away happy, realizing, why are we even talking about losing at Austin? They're going to go down there, have some good barbecue, hang out with
Jesus' family.
Yeah, Jesus' family. I was going to
say Areola's family,
but and
yeah, you were going much darker. Yeah. Huh?
After hours,
they're going to go down on 6th Street and watch some brawls with drunk sorority girls.
That's the whiskey talking,
and it's going to be a good time.
Hopefully they check out the Spider House. That's my favorite bar in Austin.
Where is it?
Just right outside the campus.
Okay.
It's just right outside of campus.
Okay.
Next time you go, Google it. A great beer selection, outdoor garden for you to drink in. It's less of a touristy place and more of like just a college local hangout.
Like a dive bar?
Yeah. Live music.
All right. But they can go there after they get the 3 points.
Yeah. Well, that's where they'll go celebrate.
If they don't get the 3 points, then they got to get back on the bus.
The last time I was in Austin.
Nah, they're getting the 3 points. Nothing to worry about.
Last time I was in Austin, there was a New Orleans style brass band walking around and playing, and it was fantastic. I love Austin mainly for its food culture. My favorite restaurant in the world is in Austin. It's a dive bar that serves local beer and vegan food called the Beer Plant. It's a little bit outside of the main area. You got to drive out to it. But it is fantastic. It has the best vegan food I've ever had. And it's kind of like the same way that Flatstick here serves all Washington beer. It serves all like local Texas beers. So it's super cool. Even as someone who's, they have booze too, which is why I like it, 'cause I'm not much of a beer drinker, but it's just this awesome, it looks nicer than a dive bar, but it has the dive bar vibe. It's all like wood and it feels great. And it's my favorite restaurant in the entire world. And you know, I haven't traveled extensively outside of North America and Europe, but where I have, I love it. So I definitely, if you're going after the game, try to get out there to the Beer Plant, or there's some amazing vegan food trucks as well down there with burgers, with huge burritos, amazing milkshakes. Like it's not Portland, it's not LA, but it's like the next best thing to those in terms of vegan food. So definitely, if you're going, try that the vegan fare, because it's fantastic. Love it.
No, are you wearing what kind of, is that a jersey or?
Yeah, it's the goalie jersey from my pub league team last year that won the championship. So is that that's some tequila you're down in there, Dan?
Yeah, we've moved on to tequila. I'm out of beer. I moved on to tequila. My neighbors were outside, so I didn't want to smoke before we recorded.
I got my whiskey. You've got your tequila.
Try Cutwater.
You're cold.
Two of those, and you'll be good. You won't remember the game.
Yeah, I was supposed to work on finalizing my class that I start teaching next week. But I think I've had enough whiskey now that I probably shouldn't do that, because it's going to be fun. If otherwise, I'll wait till tomorrow.
You know what you should probably do after we get done recording?
Yeah.
Go play Fortnite.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. I mean, I don't need to. No one's going to listen to the episode tonight. I just have to put it up before I go to bed. So that sounds brilliant. If you want to join us in Fortnite, you can look. I mean, I'm legal-minded punk on there just like I am everywhere else. So go look for me.
Just have Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know any. Yeah, because I'm not on Twitter.
That's going to be the running joke for them.
You know what, guys? The Sounders are going to win the MLS Cup.
If they do, you're hearing it now. I'm getting the Sounders tattoo if they win MLS Cup this year.
And are you going to twerk live on the show?
No. I have some self-awareness that I know that what's out there is out there forever. And can be
and has been screenshotted.
It can be recorded. It's just on the internet forever.
How long ago was that screenshot you sent me earlier saying that I rooted for Liverpool? I'm quite a bit heavier in that photo. Was I frumpy that day, or was that like at the beginning of the season?
You want me to check?
Yeah, I mean, I look about 50 pounds heavier than I am now, which is probably
July 24th.
Okay, 2 months. Yeah, I'm probably 20 pounds heavier than. It looks more than that though.
No, I think it. Yeah, you look a little. Yeah, you look more slimmer now, but I think you had a
bigger beard.
You had less hair now, but
it's because I'm balding.
I think it's just the lighting.
Yeah, I can change the lighting in this room. I also have key lights that I can turn on. But you know what? You don't need to see me that well. This is a podcast,
and we have some exciting news. I think with the release of FC 26.
Oh yeah, I thought you were gonna say with Mangione not being charged.
I don't know what that is.
Get me excited.
they dropped two of the three state charges against him today. So, yeah, that's okay. Let's not get into it. That's
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah,
so
EAFC 26 coming out. It's out in 3 days for people that pre-ordered the fancy version, and the rest of us like a week later.
Yeah, but if you're like the working class like me, you're going to get it in a week or now. Yeah,
yep.
But, I mean, we'll probably try to do something for the Patreon. Maybe some, you know, we'll do a soundish career mode, how we would run the team. And, you know, if you guys want to.
Did Did you see the picture I sent you, I think it was last night, of who won the Ballon d'Or in my league?
Oh, yeah. Hashtag free Pedro.
That's right. He has developed into one of the best players in the world because I started him every game in the Premier League.
But you know what? I think you play FIFA on beginner mode because you were beating Real Madrid 4-0.
Oh, yeah. That one I was playing on beginner mode because I don't actually play those games. This will be an interesting conversation for video game people. I treat FIFA right now because I don't want to play like a full season of games because it's the new one comes out in a week. I'm treating it like it's Football Manager. I sim all the games. I only jump in usually if I'm losing or if I need to score. Like that was the first game after I had signed
Mbappe.
So I was like, I want to see what it's like to score a goal with him. So I was up 3-0. I got into the game and then immediately scored with Mbappe. So
there's a lot of people that play that way. And like, as far as like YouTube content creators and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm not playing that game, playing every game, like going through a season right now. I'm just going through and I'm actually developing my own players, but yeah, I'm waiting for the new game to come out in a week. Now we just got to get Dan into more video games.
I mean, I think we got him to get FIFA. You got 25. No.
Yeah, I play 25. Oh, sweet. I'll buy 26 in 6 months.
Yeah, when it's on sale. Is that IRD?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is IRD.
Hi. Hey. Special guest.
Welcome to the show.
Who's your favorite Seattle Sounder? No, he doesn't know.
Pedro?
You like Pedro or do you like Thomas, the goalkeeper?
Oh, yeah.
She got Open Cup last year. She got a picture with Thomas. That's amazing. And ever since then, he's been beside herself about
it. I have a friend that's madly in love with him. In the picture.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that colors why you want him to start.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, absolutely.
Nah, that's apart from his ability in the goal box.
Yeah. So Sounders are winning the MLS Cup, but it all starts this weekend at Austin. Give me your we may record again before then to get Cedar in, but if we don't, give me your early predictions on what the score is going to be at Austin, not knowing if Pedro's healthy and all that kind of stuff.
3-0.
To which team?
A green.
Oh, I'm supposed to pick a team too?
Yeah.
The green team.
That was what I was going to say. Gosh.
Light green or dark green?
3-0, your Seattle Sounders. And Rothrock is going to come back, redeem himself, and he's going to get the first goal.
Oh, wow. It's amazing how much difference an hour makes. I think an hour ago, you were ready to burn the whole team down.
No, that's tequila.
Booze, and I'm happy.
No, I think that Don Julio make you like a Fulio. give me 2-0 Sounders. Give me Morris to score. Ooh. And shut me up so he can start. And then give me Rusnak to score, a PK to shut me up so he can start. Prove me wrong, boys. Prove me wrong.
And I'll say 2-1 Sounders. I think we've done it. MLS Cup, here we come. Where can we find you? On the Discord.
On the Discord.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. I'm Punk on everywhere that's not X.
You can find me on Instagram at Alex_Diaz and then just insert area code. That's not what's the one in Seattle?
253.
206?
Yeah, it's so the other one. It's not 253, it's not 425. And it's not whatever. There's a new Seattle area code too. I don't even know what it is. They're out of 206s now.
Yeah. So I'm on the just enter the other area code and then you'll find me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not your email though. I kept trying to put that in for your email. Doesn't work. And you can of course find Cedar on the Discord as well. Shout out to Cedar. We're sorry we betrayed you. We are Judases. You can yell at us on text message. All right, everybody.
No.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Later.
Catches.
You want to say bye, Dan?
He's already saying hi with his eyes.
Bye, Dan.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.